Huge difference. There's a passage where it says about the Lord, as was his custom. The Lord would get up, go to the synagogue and teach, as was his custom. He would get up early in the morning to pray. And the word custom in Greek is a rigorous spiritual habit. A rigorous spiritual habit. That's a pretty cool story. So basically, as if you want to explode in your relationship with God, don't go looking for the big, huge moments. Be faithful in the tiny moments. This is a wild story. The other day in the other class, the younger kids downstairs, I gave a teaching on small habits, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit showed me something. There's 1,440 minutes in a day, and there's three things that I do every day, and it's become so habitual now. You know, habits are amoral. You can have good habits or bad habits, but when they become good habits, you don't even think anymore. It's like subconscious. There's three things I do. I read the Word. I do a listening prayer, and I worship. And on average, it's not 2.5 hours a day. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. It's about 16 minutes a day, and I added it up. It's 1.11% of the minutes in a day. And when I wrote my last book, I wrote in chapter 1 that the numbers 111 follow me everywhere. You know, God likes to speak to you in His Word. God can speak to you however He wants to. He spoke in the Old Testament through a donkey, or in the King James, it's translated something else. And I used to love to say that at youth camp. I never preached out of the King James Bible ever until I went to youth camp. And I just kept reading that passage where God spoke through the mouth. And it says it right there in the Bible, right there, jackass, it said it. And the kids giggled the entire sermon. It was just a great sermon. Anyway, getting distracted. God can speak to you however He wants to speak to you. The Lord reminded me of a story. I was in Missouri. Matter of fact, someone was there that was a starting linebacker, Brad Madison. He's probably listening right now. He was a starting linebacker for the University of Missouri when I gave that epic, I think it's Balaam, where he speaks through the donkey. And somebody that night named Brad Fogarty, who is now the manager of the band Big Daddy Weave. This is like a story I would make up, but I'm not making it up. And they're called Big Daddy Weave, but they're big. It's kind of funny. Anyway, I went backstage. It wasn't even a charismatic event. I didn't speak on healing. I spoke on the donkey passage. And he said, the Holy Spirit shows me that you pray for the sick. I said, I do. And we saw a miracle in his knee, in his ankle, right there on the spot. My point, I think where I'm going today is this. I actually am enjoying predictability in my life, like we're talking about wherever Noah went. Where'd you go? I like predictability. I like habits. That's one side of the coin. We must plan well. We need to focus on the Word. But if there's not space in my day for God to crash in on me when I didn't see it coming, I got to be careful because I may be leaning into my own competency more than being open to Him. And so if you're taking notes, I'm trying to work. Claudia's always asking me when they translate for our Spanish family here, Hispanic family, please talk slower. So I'm trying right now. And I'm trying to be a teacher that gives stuff to write down. That's what good teachers do. So if you want to write something down, write this down. I must interpret the Scriptures through paradox. Is God predictable? Yes, He's also unpredictable. Is God big? He's enormous. He's also small enough to get in Mary's belly. And so does God like freedom? Yes, but He also likes structure. And if you're anything like most humans, you tend to be ditchy. We just find ditches. And so I went to a seminary and was around my Reformed brothers and sisters. There's so much truth in that camp. There's also truth in the John Wesley camp. There's truth is found in extremes. And as soon as we make a doctrine out of habit, the Holy Spirit will say, don't become addicted to your habits. It's possible to actually be more in love with the Bible than it is to be in love with the author of the Bible. God always will keep us on our toes. Always. Always. I was given a gift by a friend of mine looked like a diamond. It was an award the other day, a coach's award in the shape of a diamond. God's like a diamond. You keep turning him and it's like, oh, I never knew that. Oh, I never knew that. For me, the most exciting thing about eternity is two things, being with the Trinity, but also learning forever. If you are so comfortable in your theology that you're not open to being poked on with that theology, that's dangerous. That's good teaching. All right, let me go through my notes here. Let's go to 1 John 5:3. This is week 3 of a 600-week study on the fear of the Lord. Tori Harper from Manhattan, he's been here. He's Times Square, a church there. He's been here a few times to minister. He just released a word last week. He had an encounter with the Father, and the Father showed him that Tori is a seasoned prophet. He said the Father is baptizing messengers with a fresh message of the fear of the Lord, and also he's releasing plumb line messengers. And plumb line is our artwork for Garden Global, the media side of things here. Blake Berg has drawn up a literal plumb line. So I'll say this. I think we're really doing a good job of being in tune with the message that God is speaking from heaven right now. Whew. You know, crying out for revival is one thing, but discerning that you're in a reformation is another. Revival tends to get people more excited than reformation. Reformation is what shifts the world. I'll be honest, revivals can come and go. They don't typically last very long. I think we're in the final reformation. And if you look at Reformation 1500s, it shifts culture. All sects of culture, I really do believe we are in a literal reformation. One of the signs of that is so much chaos around us. All right, 1 John 5:3. Let me read this passage and then we're just going to jump in here. Here we go. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. This is such a loaded statement. When you look at the fear of the Lord, the question is, well, what is it? Is it possible to describe the fear of the love in a statement? Gosh, I don't know, but I've wrestled with this. I'm 51. I started wrestling with it when I'm 15. I'm going to give it a go here. If I had to speak today on the love of God, for me to only describe the love of God as kind and patient would be true but incomplete. Zana Green and Amber Thornton had a full day of training a couple of weeks ago from an organization called From Darkness to Light, and it is the prevention of sexual abuse, specifically in systems like a school or a church. It was training on things that were hard to hear. It was very heavy. I literally felt like I just needed some space to process so much of the information that I learned, because we want this to be a house that we shepherd well and we protect well, and we want to protect our kids as much as humanly possible. You got supernatural protection, then you got good leadership. And I learned so many things. And one of the things that is really, really, really scary is that many predators are very kind and patient. So to only, hear me out, to only describe the love of God as kind and patient, that's a true statement, but it's not a full picture. Early in my career, I was in a meeting, and I was in a meeting with another pastor, two other pastors. And in terms of influence, I had less influence than at that time than either one of these pastors. And one of the pastors I knew very, very well. The other one, I had never met him. I had never heard of him in my life. Didn't know who he was. He was very kind. He was funny. He was one of those people that when they walk into a room, they're like, they light up the room. And this other pastor who I knew very well was really wanting to get to know him very, very well. Holy Spirit says to me in my left ear, he's in the middle of an affair right now on his wife, and I'm taking his ministry from him. I told the other pastor this, and it didn't go over well. I was called judging for that, and I was told that we're only to come in the opposite sphere in the prophetic. I don't know who started that, but that's the prophetic is this. You say what God says. You say it with a kind heart. You say it very kindly. 6 months later, this man was found to be in an affair with his wife. And as the Lord told me, plans were made to transition what he was leading. In the natural, to the eyeball, he's very kind. He was very empathetic. So we have to be very careful when we define with our own definitions what we think the fear of the Lord is or what we think the love of God is. And I'll be very, very, very clear here. If you say that the fear of the Lord is only, well, it's reverently worshiping Him, that's not true. Partial truth can send someone to hell. A partial truth can send someone to hell. Are y'all hearing me on this? So what we believe in our theology and what we believe about God, it's a very big deal. And so I have wrestled this thing down to the point, I think I read all of God last January, so a year later, I've read and taught through this book and the content of the book quite a few times now. And I'm ready to, at this point in my journey, at least, to describe what I believe the fear of the Lord is in one word. If I can only give one word that's the most robust, full picture of what the fear of the Lord is, it would be this one word: obedience. Can we look at this passage again? This is in the new covenant, guys. This is past ascension. This is Jesus in glory with his Father. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. There's so much paradox going on here. This is like Cliff Notes version. I am much happier as a human fearing the Lord than not fearing the Lord. If any teaching of the fear of the Lord makes you feel like you're carrying a burden you can't carry, that's legalism. There's nothing that will make you feel more light than fearing the Lord. Okay, well, what is Chad saying fear of the Lord is? Obeying him. Now, the worst thing about following the Lord is the Lord loves things on his conditions and terms. I have never had the Lord ask me for advice. Has anyone, if you are the one person, can you imagine the amount of hubris it would take to be like, actually back in 75, the Lord said, Daryl, I'm stumped. Do you have 8 minutes? So his commands are not burdensome, but there's a problem. Typically, when he's calling us to follow him into something, our flesh hates it. How do you know if you fear the Lord? My mom asked me a question the other night at dinner. We went to this place right up here, Double Dog. Look, about 800 TVs in there. It's delicious. It's great, right up here on Pelham Road. And my mom asked me a question. She said, what do you think about homosexuality? And I said, Mom, I think it's a sin. Do you know now, not just in the Methodist church, but this is, I said it would happen. I didn't think it would happen this fast. But you're seeing now in mainline denominations, and it's coming for the Spirit-filled stream, it's coming for all streams, it's coming for the Baptist stream, you can create a theology that says, listen, I fear the Lord, but I categorize what I think is sin. Just because his commandments aren't burdensome doesn't mean my flesh doesn't rebel. Henry Cloud is being used for such a time as this. His book was written 20 years ago, but man, it's really helping a lot of people. If you're in an abusive situation, anybody that knows the Lord will train you on how to set proper boundaries in that scenario. Boundaries are there to help us. You can help us grow, help us not be deceived. You can come to the altar as a predator. You can come to the altar as someone that doesn't see pornography as a sin. They don't see homosexuality as a sin. They don't see embezzlement as a sin. We have to be careful defining the fear of the Lord as reverent worship only, because Lucifer reverently worshiped God for a long, 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 long time. So ultimately then, is as we evaluate what is the fear of the Lord, it's not so much about your spouse or your kids. It's about you taking your own brokenness, feebleness, saying, God, I got all kind of issues, but I want my life to be seen as one thing and one thing only. I was obedient to you. And here's why I love the model of Celebrate Recovery. When your flesh rears its head, and it's like you're in rebellion, and it's like, Lord, why is it that I'm so selfish in this area? Jesus will meet you in the midst of that pride as long as you give it to him and say, I can't control my life anymore. Would you please come? The earth suit makes it difficult to follow Jesus because even though his commandments aren't burdensome, he will always lead you, always, to the thing that you need to give up the most, which is yourself, always. At the core root of pornography, it's a selfishness issue. At the core root of all sins, it's always about self. And so this battle with the fear of the Lord is, the Father's more concerned about grooming Chad Norris into the image of Jesus than completing an assignment through my life. And so whatever I'm carrying in my flesh that is battling that thing, that's when it feels burdensome, but the burden is not on the Lord's end, it's on my flesh. So how do you win? Step number one in all recovery models, God, I need you. I can't pull nothing off. I had a dream last night. John Helms and I were in an airplane and we were at about 100,000 feet. And it was one of those military planes where the side window was open, or not cargo, whatever. And Helms and I stood out. Now, I tell you this, you would have to shoot me dead for me to jump out of an airplane. I'm telling you, like, whatever the strongest narcotic in the world is, it would not work for me. Remember A-Team when they used to give Mr. T something before they, I guess he got on a plane. So the Lord was messing with me in the dream because there's nothing. The Lord could fly the plane and I would not get on that plane. I don't like planes. I every time I pray about it, I just don't like. The Lord says, look, lo, I am with you to the ends of the earth. He means that, all right? You know that? It's really funny. I had someone that said they weren't going to go to Israel with me one time, and they said, the Lord says, lo, I am with you. I thought it was really, really funny. And in the plane, I was getting ready to jump out, and I knew it was the Lord. Well, Helms is playing. Jonathan, raise your hand right here. Jonathan is playing point guard on a model called Celebrate Recovery, which is going to be every Thursday night here for until the end of this whole thing. The whole model of Celebrate Recovery is predicated upon whatever your addiction is, whatever you're struggling with, you can't fix you. And so here's the paradox. I only know if I love him, if I obey him. And typically what he's asking me to obey him in hurts me a little bit. It costs me. It's not easy. Discipleship surely has to cost us something. Have you ever had anyone say, yeah, the Lord called me to this and it's just really easy? Typically the Lord's telling you to do something you don't want to do. Think about it. If the Lord's calling you to a bunch of stuff you want to do, you need to make sure it's the Lord. Think about it. The Lord's always asking you to lay something down. It's like, imagine being Moses. I'm not picking that snake up by its tail. I'm not doing that. Pick it up by its tail. What is it about the Lord that it feels burdensome until you realize I'm only happy when I'm obeying you. I'm happier when I'm cleaner. I'm happier when I'm not in this mess. You know, addiction is exhausting. Tending to self is exhausting. I think the point of the dream last night was a journey into a recovery model, which is this. God is great, and he's great in my life when I admit I'm not great and I need him. I'm getting a kick out of a lot of the Instagram, I'll make you rich in 3 months, self do it. It seems like Instagram is great and it's awful. And there are these people that create these images that if you just believe a couple of things, then your business, I think the new thing now is 10X or 100X, whatever. You can make your business 10X in the next 4 months if you just do these three things. I think a better way to say it is this. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights, and every blessing in my life comes from him. And there are times the Father may starve my business to train me in humility. I can't control my way into breakthrough. You know, if you look at your ledger and your money's going up and your influence is going up, the moment you think you have pretty much anything to do with that in this kingdom, that's really scary. To me, though, this makes me, I would rather be with the Lord, my flesh rebel against it, but I just surrender into His arms 100 times a day and have success than me try to create something and pioneer something, and then I have to maintain that thing out of my own strength. It doesn't work. Paul boasted in his weakness. So yes, the fear of the Lord is obeying Him, and that obedience is always difficult, but sometimes the thorn can become a great blessing. Let's look at this next passage, Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. What if a thorn in your life right now is God's gift to you? Elbow your spouse and say, "You're my gift." I'm kidding. All right. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I talked about paradox earlier. One of the paradoxes is there's a certain camp that all they talk about is how we've been regenerated and we are saints, not servants. That's an incomplete statement. We have been regenerated. We are saints, Ephesians 1:1. But if you think you're not still a doulos in the Greek, a love slave to Jesus, yes, I'm a co-heir, but I'm here to serve. I mean, go read James, the church in Jerusalem. Go read James in chapter 1. In this kingdom, you don't have any rights. In this kingdom, you don't need to feel the pressure to create a life vision path. Unless your vision path is, I die daily. That's a good vision path. I die daily. The way that a lot of the church, especially mega church, are presented, it's really like just going to one of these conferences where you put yourself on the throne, you control everything, and you work a couple of principles, and then it works. In this kingdom, you have to lay the staff down. You have to constantly surrender. And in that, I am actually here to serve Him. And I know what you're going to say. He says in John, I no longer call you servants but friends. Yes, but I can show you where Paul calls you a doulos. And there's one word to worship Him is epiripto in the Greek. You know what it means? It means to lick the hand of the master like a dog would lick its master's hand. The ultimate paradox to me, and I really felt His kindness this morning, His kindness is more uncomfortable than His severity to me. Anybody else agree to that? It's like, I just felt His love. It's like, who are you to love me like this? The ultimate paradox is, He is so kind, but He's not Buddy the Elf. He is so severe, but He's not a legalist. That paradox is one that a lot of people are not willing to wrestle with. He asked me a question this morning at the gym. He said, "What, Chad, what do you think the American church would do if the government confiscated all the Bibles?" And I pondered that. A lot of us are more comfortable in reading a book that we can interpret it ourselves and put our own thoughts on, but you actually can hide behind the Bible. A place of surrender is not only reading the Word, but also being open to 1 Corinthians 14:1. To where He can break in on me. I eagerly desire all the gifts, especially that I may prophesy. In other words, there's a book you can read, which has been misinterpreted by millions of people, but there's also a voice you can hear. And I think a reason a lot of people despise the prophetic is we really like any system of control, even if it's the Bible. And I love the Bible. It's one of my habits. I love the Bible. What I'm saying is, if you really want to put yourself into a posture of surrender, don't just lean on what you can read. Lean on Rhema voice coming from your Father. Jesus says, "My sheep shall hear my voice." My sheep shall hear my voice. One of the markers of someone that has a lot of spiritual wealth is they are terrified of going one day without hearing His voice multiple times. And you have to be careful because you can say, "Well, the voice I need is just in the Word I can read." Well, that's not biblical. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, eagerly desire all the gifts, especially you may prophesy. And then 1 Corinthians 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. The word Lord there is Rhema. What I'm saying is this, I'll tell you what will really keep you serving Him and staying low, not just depending on what your eyes can see and read. I mean, the Crusades were misinterpreted by people that ended up murdering millions of people. I'm just simply saying God hates control when we try to control our lives. It never works out when we control. And the way to serve Him is just through surrender every day, saying, I just want to hear your voice today. It keeps you on your toes. During this fast, I have a habit in the gym. And I haven't watched them in forever, but I'm making my way through every Rocky movie. Every single Rocky movie. I'm on Rocky 4 right now. I've cried four times and tried to fight a guy 2 weeks ago. I was so stirred up over these movies. All the plots are the same. Every plot of the movies. I'm not a Siskel and Ebert. I'm not really a movie critic. If a movie's bad, I promise you it's bad. I would be a terrible food critic, terrible movie critic. I'm not really wired to take a deep dive into the plethora of emotions in all the movies. I watched Inception and was like, I have no idea. I don't know what's going on. But these Rocky movies, I have it figured out. The whole thing is about him and him. The whole thing is about him. It's about the battle with himself. Every movie. That man made billions of dollars because we kept watching the same plot. And if he'd keep making them, I'll keep watching them. I think he just might. The Creed movies are just as good. And then the one Balboa. But yet, guess what the Holy Spirit showed me? As I'm watching these movies, I'm thinking through the life of Paul. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. Paul's joy is increasing while his flesh rears its head, while he dies more and more. And Paul seemed to believe that his commands were not burdensome, because if we were locked up in a prison, we'd probably be bitter and demand therapy. Paul's worshiping. It's this battle of daily surrender. Just daily surrender. If you want to fear the Lord and you lean into legalism, that's not fearing the Lord. And if you want to fear the Lord and your image of God is Buddy the Elf, that's not fearing the Lord. So then what is fearing the Lord? It's creating a mindset inside of yourself and a natural ethos in your life that every day there is one word stamped over you and your family, and it's the word surrender. The healthiest recovering addicts are the most surrendered. And they're not just surrendered to some feelings. They're surrendered to a process. They're surrendered to a God. The God, the Most High God. And I'll close with this. The people that I see the most fruit on spiritually are not the greatest. They're actually the weakest. And they have somehow learned to surrender about 11 times a day. I train on the prophetic a lot, and I love it. The prophetic to me is fascinating. What does the divine have? Why does he want to talk to me? If you get used to the prophetic, I think something's wrong. You should be blown away, like, wow, you speak to us? There's no beginning to you. You were here forever. I'm here for 9 minutes, from dust to dust. Who are you to talk to us? And I'm telling you, some of you borderline worship, some of these great prophets on blah, blah. I'm going to tell you where the highest form of the prophetic comes from. It doesn't come through an impartation. It comes from a place of brokenness in your own heart where you've learned to cultivate a relationship with the Father, where he draws close to the meek. He draws close to a contrite heart. Anybody in here can hear God on a level that is extraordinary. Well, you say, how? I need the great man of God to pray for me. No, you actually don't. What you need to learn to do is to just surrender about 15 times a day. What if every business meeting you went into this week, you mumbled under your breath, I do not know how to lead this meeting? I'm not saying that as self-deprecation. God will make you look like a genius when you go low. Whatever your addiction is, if you'll just say out loud, I'm really, really struggling right now, Jesus. Don't think it, say it. I just need you right now. He draws close to that. When does it not feel burdensome to obey him? When you're bonding with him in your own brokenness. And the devil's very tricky. The devil has us convinced that all of us, the person beside you, they got their act together more than you do. No, they don't. Maybe the great ones are just better at being broken than you are. It is exhausting trying to be Jesus. I was talking to Elias this morning, And we were just talking about, because Wendy and I just closed on a house and there were some challenges everywhere. I'm just convinced in this world, you're going to have trouble. The Lord said it. I think he meant it. We're in shock when something doesn't go. We should be in shock when something's easy, I think. I mean, I went to Walmart the other day. There's 31 lines. It's like Six Flags. There's no employee working in any of them. And I hate the kiosk where you do it yourself. I don't want to do that because something, it never works. And then they tell you, just plug in the code, 912-060-507. How am I supposed to know that? I just want one employee at Walmart. This thing is 700,000 square feet. And there's no one anyway. The key to breakthrough in all areas of life is to be like my dog Preacher. Every morning, he rolls over and puts his paws up. And I want to say to him every morning, I've never hurt you. I'm never going to hurt you. All he wants me to do is hold him. So I was talking to Elias this morning. This time next year, we're going to have to figure out what are we going to do with all these kids at Garden Academy? And the Lord just showed me something down here. Somehow we think we're going to get to a place where we don't have to trust the Lord for something. We're going to have to trust the Lord for 100 students. And somehow I illegally developed a thought in my life that it was my job to figure stuff out. I can't figure anything out. But somehow, if you do that in a non-self-deprecating way, the Lord will make you look like a genius. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that when things come at me, God knows how to handle it better than I do. But the only people that truly fear him are not the big, bad John Waynes. They're the little shaking sheep that say, I need you. Lord, I really need you. I need you. And then the answer comes and the breakthrough comes. Lord, we love you. I thank you for what you're doing here at the Garden. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I bless this faith family with extraordinary connection with you this week. I bless this house that we really would have solid revelation on what fearing you is. If you struggle with this message of the fear of the Lord because it makes you almost feel like you don't even want to be around him because, I fear the Lord. But you're starting to sort of believe that actually he's very kind and fearing the Lord has nothing to do with being afraid of him. If you want me to pray that you would just really get out of all that legalism thinking, would you just stand up and pray for you where you are? Because some people hear the message, fear the Lord, and they back up like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. It's not like that at all. I bless you, those standing, that you would fall in love with him in this series and that you would be afraid to be away from him. Because that's how kind he is. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Celebrate recovery here. I pray you would bring the team that's supposed to lead it. I pray for Jonathan, his team, as he leads them, that you just give them wisdom. I thank you for Logan, how he's leading us. Father, I ask that you bring drug addicts here, porn addicts, workaholics, the codependents. I ask, because Lord, I can't do it. I ask you, Jesus, to fill up all these rooms on Thursday nights with people with all sorts of issues. And I just ask, Jesus, you take the thing over and you help a lot of broken people. Let's stand up. I'm going to speak a blessing over us. May you realize that he came for the sick. May you realize he's not frustrated with your incompetencies. May you truly believe he's very kind and he likes you. Go in peace. God bless.